Our New Testament reading this morning is from Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 1. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your heart sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is your acceptable duty in the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, or they may lose heart. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, not only while being watched and in order to please them, but wholeheartedly, fearing the Lord. Whatever your task, put yourselves in it as done for the Lord and not for your masters, since you know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You serve the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong has been done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, for you know that you also have a master in heaven.
And thanks to my stage crew here who helped with the props this morning. And I want to talk this morning about relationships, and as we saw reflected in Colossians chapter 3. But I don't know if you have noticed, but there seems to be a lot of reality TV shows out these days. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed all the reality TV shows? I'm thinking, there's American Idol, Survivor, there's Top Chef, Top Model, there's Bachelor and Bachelorette, there is, what else do we have out there? Yeah, Jersey Shore. One I haven't quite gotten to watch yet, but what Jersey Shore, the real life, wasn't it? Real World on MTV was one of the originals. What else do we have? Housewives of Atlanta, DC, LA. What did I miss any? I'm sure I'm missing some.
Apprentice,
that's right. Project Runway. Ice Road Truckers. All right. See how many reality TV shows there are? We could be here all morning. But I was thinking about that, and they take all this footage, all this film footage, right? I mean, days, hours and hours and days of footage, and then they edit it down. And what do they edit it down to? The relationships, don't they? The arguments, the conflict, the love interests. All the stuff, that seems to be able to entertain us. It's kind of like whatever, it's like being on the highway and you see an accident, you slow down and look, We look at relationships and we slow down and look at them and we want them on our reality TV. Now don't ask me why I was watching this show. Just know that I found myself watching Dancing with the Stars last season. Let's just say I was with my mom, all right? I was with my mom. You get it. You guys understand what I'm talking about, right? So I'm watching Dancing with the Stars with Mom, and there's one of the celebrities on there is Kate Gosselin. And I thought about that. Well, two things that have made Kate Gosselin a celebrity. One is that she had 8 kids. That ought to make anybody a celebrity, right? But what really elevated her and put her on every magazine, in every magazine rack on the grocery store, you know, checkout line, was her relationship problems with her husband, isn't it? I mean, that's really what elevated. It's like her relationship problems, her wreck, kind of made everybody look, and we wanted to watch, and we wanted to look, and we wanted to see what was going on. And I think there's something wrong about that, isn't there? You know, I think part of what it is that if somebody else is acting that way, I can feel better about myself. Or I can feel better because you know, I can look at these shows and I can go, you know what, at least I'm not that way. You know, it's always easier to see the faults of others than to see what's going on with ourselves. It's always easy to see kind of what other people are wearing rather than what we're wearing. And that's what Paul's talking about this morning in Colossians. Paul's talking about the attitudes and behaviors that are in our relationships, that affect our relationships to one another. And Paul's actually using this metaphor of clothing to talk about what kind of clothing are we wearing in our relationships. Paul first starts out describing this type of clothing that's kind of like what I would call the dirty clothes, the filthy clothes, the clothes that kind of smell bad and are we wear them. They're like they're nasty to look at, but they're pretty comfortable to wear. You know, jeans and a t-shirt's pretty comfortable, and it's natural. It's easy to walk around in jeans and a t-shirt. And then Paul says, you know, but clothe yourselves with this really nice outfit, and he outlines those attitudes and behaviors. But it's actually sometimes just more comfortable to wear this one, isn't it? It just comes more naturally. It's easy to put that one on. It's our default mode sometimes. And I think about it, those relationships that we kind of default in. And Paul, I'm not going to go through all the list of things that Paul talks about, but really he talks about two categories of things that when we have those attitudes or behaviors, they tend to destroy and tear down our relationships. And the two categories that I would sum them up are lusts, those things that we pursue that seem to never get gratified, that we're pursuing things or possessions or wants or perceived needs, and we pursue these things, and it's those insatiable things, those desires within us that just never seem to get fulfilled, that we keep chasing after, these pursuits, these lusts. And the other thing that Paul says is there's all these things that go along with anger, and he describes these behaviors that go along with anger in our lives. And I actually think that there is a relationship between our pursuits and our self-centered pursuits and our anger. Because anger sometimes is about not getting what we want. It's about ourselves. And our pursuits is usually self-centered. These pursuits that Paul is talking about. Not all pursuits, but these that Paul is talking about here this morning. You know, I've had many a person, both male and female, come to me and ask why their relationships are falling apart. And as I begin to download, they begin to download with me all the things that they're wrestling with, I find that, you know, that, and I've heard this conversation more than once, you know, the person comes in, they'll say something to the effect, you know, I work hard. My work demands so much of me. And I'm so busy at work all the time that I'm not spending enough time at home with my relationship with my family or with my spouse or with my extended family. And I'm working all these hours to provide them. I can't understand why, what's so wrong with me working so hard. I just can't understand why my relationships are falling apart. Sometimes our workaholism, our pursuit of more, what we might term providing, can sometimes be about us needing to be successful, us needing to be valued, us needing to be gratified, felt worthy. And we pursue these things at the detriment or the neglect of our relationships. These could be other pursuits. These could be other passions. but there's a correlation here. How many people here live in a home that they have to maintain? Anybody here live in a house you have to maintain? What would happen to your house? What would happen to your house if you didn't mow the lawn, didn't clean the gutters of the leaves, didn't clean the bathrooms, didn't vacuum the carpets, didn't fix anything that was falling apart, didn't unclog the bathtubs? What would happen to that house if you didn't maintain it? It'd fall apart, wouldn't it? It would go into disrepair. It's the same with our relationships. If we don't invest time and energy into our relationships, they begin to look like this. We begin to wear this stuff. Just like a house needs to be maintained, our relationships need to be maintained and invested in. Time needs to be invested in those relationships. It's when time is not invested, it's when that time is invested in other pursuits that those relationships begin to fall apart. And then it's no wonder that when we come into those relationships, when we do invest time in them, we wonder why they're just not going right, why they're just not connecting, why we're receiving anger or resentment or bitterness, because we haven't connected, we haven't invested in that relationship anymore. We wonder why there's anger and wrath and abusive language and even some lies thrown in. It's because our relationships need attention. And anger begins to become the expression of our dissatisfaction with that relationship, or our hurt, or our pain, or our fear, or those things that make us angry. But the anger that Paul is really talking about here is this kind of anger that kind of holds on to stuff and then flares up, lets them have it, belittles the other person, that says, I'm going to make myself better. I'm going to put you down so I can make myself look better. Just take a look at reality TV. What's going to make me feel better about myself and make me feel more worthy and more valuable is to put someone else down or to be right or to be in control. And so I begin to allow that to take over my relationships. You know, a lot has been written about relationships. And a lot's been said that it's about communication, right? A lot of people say, well, if we could just communicate better. But at the same time, our communication is a reflection of what's going on inside. Really what's going on inside of us. How we communicate is a reflection of what's in here. Because when we communicate, we're giving expression to what is happening internally. And so I think about that. You know what Farmer Joe says, right? Everybody knows Farmer Joe? Everybody ought to have a Farmer Joe. But Farmer Joe says this: what's down in the well is usually what comes up in the bucket. Sometimes it's just the simple ways of putting things that communicate the best. You see, it's what's inside of us that's really what's coming out in our communication. It's what's going on inside of us that's coming out. And how it comes out and what comes out sometimes has a lot to do with what's going on in here. Now, it's interesting because what Paul is using this metaphor of clothing, right? Paul's using this metaphor of clothing, and Paul is saying, this is really, it'd be nice if everybody kind of walked in life wearing what was going on inside of them, wouldn't you think, What would life be like if everybody walked around actually wearing on the outside what was going on in the inside? Life would be a little bit easier when it came to relationships, wouldn't it? If you came home from work, guys, and your wife was wearing this, to not, go be with the kids or do something, Or if, you came back and your husband was wearing this, you'd know, okay, he's in a good mood, Or if your boss was wearing this rather than this, you'd kind of know whether or not to go into the office, wouldn't you? You'd also be looking at life and go, okay, I'm going to avoid that person, or I'm going to go be with that person. But Paul's really saying that this is about the inside. This isn't about what we wear on the outside. This is about our own attitudes and behaviors. And so, the other thing is that I don't know if you've noticed this, but I don't know if you've tried, I've tried, it doesn't work I've tried to change other people. Have you ever tried to do that? You know, because I always think, you know, if I could just change that other person, life would be so much better, wouldn't it? If I could just get them to change, that would be great, wouldn't it? But I can't do that. The person that needs to change oftentimes is me. I can't change other people, but you know, I can change myself. I can change out of these clothes into these clothes. I can't make other people make that change, but I can make that change. And that's what Paul's saying, that if we need to stop living in these clothes, we need to change out of these clothes and start living in these clothes. Paul talks about these clothes, and he gives another list of virtues that are actually counteractive to the list of vices that he just talked about. But what is the response? What is the antidote to our anger and our lusts and our unfulfilled pursuits? Is forgiveness and love. I mean, Paul says, really, that love and forgiveness are the two things that will help overcome those things in our relationships, those anger, those bitterness, that resentment, and also the hurt and the pursuits. So forgiveness. Forgiveness is really the antidote to anger. Because when we forgive someone, we're giving up the right to get even. Did you hear that? Our forgiveness is our ability to give up the right to get even with the other person. Because a lot of conflict is about me being right, isn't it? Or me getting even, or me proving my point, or me making sure that I'm right and you're wrong, or that I'm elevated and you're down. I'm up and you're not. I'll tell you, just so you understand, I'll tell a personal story about this. You'll keep in mind, this was the first year I was married, okay? So this was 20 years ago. I've learned a lot in 20 years. But since I can't tell about anybody else's life, I can only tell about my life. I'll share this with you. It was the first year of marriage. We were sitting at the dinner table having a discussion, and we were both in school at the time. And my wife came, and we were sitting there at the table, and she was talking about what she did that day. And she said, you know, I went out for a walk with one of my friends today, and we walked, you know, down this street and over this street and around this building and back home. We think it was about 3.5 mile walk. And I made the mistake of saying, I don't think that's 3.5 miles. I think that was probably about 1.5 miles. Maybe 2, right? And it went silent. And so I thought, you know, I was wearing these clothes at the time. And I said to myself, you know, I'm going to prove my point. So I grabbed the car keys, and I went out to the car, completely quiet. I just left. I just left the dinner table with the car keys, got in the car. My wife followed, got in the passenger side. You're learning a lot about your pastor this morning, aren't you? We get in the car, and set the odometer, you know, the old style, you had to reset the odometer, the trip meter. So we did that, and I started the car, and I began to follow the route that she claimed to have taken on her walk. And 1 mile went by, and 1.5 miles went by, and I thought, well, maybe if I take a shortcut, you know. 2 miles went by, 3 miles went by, and sure enough, about 3.5 miles, right back to the parking lot. Turned off the ignition, sat there and said, quiet. Again, we hadn't said a word. Not a word the whole time. And we sat there in the car. The car was turned off. And I went, you're right. And I got out of the car. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? I've matured a lot in 20 years. So thank you. I don't do that. I don't make that mistake anymore. But you know, I needed to learn how to change out of these clothes into these clothes. I needed to realize that my own need to be right is not as important as my relationship. Does that make sense? And see, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but they've done research on relationships in this place called the Love Lab. Has anybody ever been to Love Lab? If not, I think maybe we should have gone there the first year of our marriage. But we went in, they do research, and they have an apartment, and they take couples, and they put them in this apartment, and they put heart monitors on them, and they got video cameras, and they mic them and everything, and they come in Friday night, and they check out Sunday evening, and they have to stay in this apartment the whole time, and these researchers watch how they relate and how they relate to one another. And it's called The Love Lab, and they've written a book on this. And in that, they talk about, they claim that with a 95% accuracy rate, that they can predict whether or not that relationship is going to make it. And you know what one of the key indicators is about that? One of the key indicators is whether or not the couple can repair the relationship. It's not that there's conflict. It's not that there's problem. It's not that there's arguments. We all are going to have that in any relationship. What the key is, the key, they say, is the ability to repair the relationship when the conflict happens. That's what Paul is saying. Forgiveness is relationship repair. When we can forgive, when we say, you know, my relationship to you is more important than my own need to be right or my own pursuits or my own stuff, when my relationship becomes more important, then that becomes a repairable situation. A forgiveness is important to our relationships. Forgiveness helps us to repair what's broken in them. But you know, Paul goes on and he says, it's love. It's love that binds it all together. Paul's saying, it's love is like the jacket on this tuxedo. This tuxedo is not really complete without the jacket, is it? You wouldn't show up at a dinner party without the jacket on. Paul's saying love is the thing that puts everything together, that brings all those other things together. If you're going to put on anything, put on love. Love is important to relationships. But what is love? What kind of love is Paul talking about? Well, Paul's talking about a kind of love that actually values the other person, that actually sees the worth and the value of this person over and above my own needs. I think about this, and I think it was in the book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, where they share a story of a little girl. And this little girl has a doll that she always has with her, this doll that is just this treasure. And because she's had it for so long, she sleeps with it, she eats with it, she takes it on car trips with her. Everything about this doll is important to her. But because she has taken this doll everywhere, the doll's eye has fallen off. The doll is dirty because the little girl's pretty low to the ground and she's always dragging it along with her on the ground. And because she's been dragging it by the arm starts to rip off. And so what do mom and dad do? What do mom and dad do with the doll? When the arm rips off, they sew it back on. When it gets dirty, they sneak it away from her in the middle of the night and go clean it and put it back in her bed before the morning. When they go on a trip, they make sure the doll goes with them. When they come to the dinner table, they make sure and they go find the doll to make sure the doll's with their daughter. Why do the parents value the doll? They value the doll because it's loved by their daughter. They see its worth, even though it's falling apart, because they value and love their daughter who loves the doll. Paul's talking about this reality of love, this new reality of love. We love people partly because God loves them. We see people's value because God values them and loves them. And so if God loves and values each of us, even the ones where the eyes are falling off and the arms are coming apart, then we are asked to love them and value them the same way. That we're to see their worth and their value. And you know what else? We also are valued. We're also loved by God. I think sometimes in our relationships we forget that. Because when we forget that we're loved and valued by God, what do we need to do? We need to find it somewhere else. We need to seek it in some other way. We need to grab it in some other way. And that may be in our relationships, that may be in our pursuits. But if we know we're loved by God, it frees us up to love other people, to put on these clothes rather than these clothes. So how do you change? How do you make this change? How do you change out of these clothes and into these clothes? Because we can't get other people to do it, right? But if we are serious about doing it, if we're talking about living into this new reality of God's love, how do we make this change? Well, you know what I think we do sometimes? I think we don't always make the change. I think what we do is this. We take the jacket of love, and we take it off, and you know how, I hope this works, because you know how my props always fall apart in sermons. But we take this jacket off, and we keep these clothes on, and we take this jacket and we put it on to cover up. Right? Say, we're better, right? Is that going to work? No. Putting on these clothes over top of this stuff is not going to work. We actually have to, Paul says, he says, strip yourselves of these things. Take off these things. We, in a sense, have to take these things off before we can put these things on. We have to strip ourselves of all those behaviors and attitudes, and we need to get rid of them, put them in a garbage bag and throw them away, is what Paul is saying. And we need to put on these clothes so that we're not still vulnerable and naked. But you know what? The point is, we have to become vulnerable in our relationship sometime to get these clothes on. We have to become vulnerable before God to get to this. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and they ate the fruit, where did they go after that? Do you remember? They hid in the bushes. They hid from God. They wanted to clothe themselves because they were ashamed. And God calls them out of the bushes, says, where are you? It's interesting that in Colossians chapter 3, Paul says this about us, that we are hidden in Christ. That because of Jesus Christ, we already have clothing that Christ has provided for us. We just got to slip into it. It's okay to change. It's okay to slip into the new clothing that Christ has made for us, that we no longer need to hide from God, that we are hidden now in Christ, that we are valued and loved by God in Christ. That's the new reality that we are called to live into as holy and loved people. So I want to ask you to pray with me this morning. I want to ask you to just close your eyes and pray. And I'm not going to ask you to do anything that's going to embarrass you or anything. This is just a time for you. And I want to ask you to bring yourself before God this morning. And I want you to ask you to be vulnerable before God this morning, to come out from behind the bushes, so to speak. And talk to God. Share with God those things that you have been clothing yourselves with, those attitudes and behaviors that you feel that you need to let go of, that you need to get rid of in your own relationships. What are the lusts and the passions that are out of control in your relationships or hurting your relationships? What are the ways, what are the things, the anger, the bitterness, the slander, the yelling, the screaming, the bad language? What is it that's hurting you and others around you that you want to get rid of in your life? Bring it before God. Give it to God. And what is it that you want to put on new? If you, what's the new outfit the new piece of clothing that you want to get and put on? Is it compassion or kindness or patience or forgiveness or bearing with one another's faults? Is it peace? Is it praise? What is it that you want to put on? God, we thank you that you are a great God, that you love us, you value us, that we no longer need to fear you or hiding from you, that we no longer need to fear who we are, but that we are free to live into this new life that you ask us to live, into these new attitudes and these new behaviors. Lord, help us this week that in our relationships we would begin to clothe ourselves with this new way, this new outfit, this new attitude, this new behavior, knowing that when we do that, we're living in a love for you, our love for other people, and the realization that we are loved and valued highly. We thank you for your Son Christ who makes that possible and reminds us of your love for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.